Today we're talking about receiving a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen for that? All right. But it's dangerous waters when talking about the Holy Spirit. Some immediately get apprehensive because I look around the room and there's more people here today that I don't know than I do know. Everybody say that's a good thing. Amen. Hey, Cameron Church is we are so packed out at our location in Cameron that in two Sundays from today, we're going to two services. Amen. So wouldn't it be something if we just had to do that at the same day? I mean, wouldn't that be something? Not that there's a competition or anything. All right. But, and so I don't know you. I don't know your background. I don't know your understanding of the Holy Spirit, your relationship to the Holy Spirit. Some people, when you start talking about Holy Spirit, I'll just go back to when Michelle and I were teenagers and we first started pastoring here in northern Missouri, over in Andrew County, over between Rosendale and King City, in a little town of Ray, the Ray Union Church. And I taught through the book of Matthew in a Bible study. And I said, well, let's go in and let's start. We've done Matthew. Let's do something different. Let's go into 1 Corinthians. And the most spiritual person, no kidding, in our church, as far as I knew, and it was a pretty small church, said, well, if you're going to teach from 1 Corinthians, I'm not coming. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, you're going to get into those gifts. That causes a bunch of problems, and I'm just not interested. And so me being a, you know, just freshly turning 20-year-old young man, I said, hey, Lloyd, why don't you hand me your Bible? He said, okay. I said, well, hey, you know, if you're never going to study 1 Corinthians, let me just go ahead and tear this out of your Bible right now. He said, you don't obviously won't need it. And he said, well, you can't do that to my Bible. I said, well, I don't understand. I said, it's the Bible. I mean, if it's the Bible, it's the Bible. Okay. And then so we can't just decide what part of the Bible we're going to pick and choose and decide we're going to like this and not like that. I said, if you're not going to use it anymore, let's just get rid of it. You won't have to be bothered with it ever again. Now, I'm not quite as rash at 55 as I am at 20, maybe. But, you know, some people get apprehensive. They get skeptical or even frightened when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. And then right on the other extreme, other people get overly excited and are ready to pounce on an opportunity to act out, even in an unruly manner. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians that church services should be conducted in a fitting and orderly manner, lest that people would come in that don't know what's going on and say, what in the world did I get myself into today? This is just cray cray, right? And bolt out the door. Have you ever been in that church? And I, you know, used to pastor that church where you thought, oh, man, I finally got that guy from work to come. Oh, Lord Jesus, don't let it get crazy today. OK, do we have to go to either extreme? Do we have to be just totally frightened of the Holy Spirit on the one hand or just go crazy on the other hand? I don't think so. Because Paul, again, wrote this. It's in that same description in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. So how about today? We don't jump into either ditch, being totally frightened of the Holy Spirit, or just go, oh, yeah, he finally hit my subject and party on. All right. How about today we just seriously look and humbly examine Scripture and then make appropriate responses? Now, if you have your bulletin, you'll see that there's a whole bunch of Scripture in there today. And believe it or not, I'm going to touch every single one of those in the next 30 minutes. So how many of you know I'm not going to be able to expound on every verse today, but I want to give you an overview of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. He's equal partner in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's not less than. And he's also not the weird cousin of the Trinity. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is just like me. He said, I'm going to send you another helper. The word there in John 14, another means one just like. I'm going to send you another helper, one who's just like me. And Jesus is just like the Father God, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you can't imagine Jesus doing something, then you really shouldn't attach that characteristic to the Holy Spirit. If you can't imagine the Father God doing a certain thing, you shouldn't then attach that characteristic to Jesus, because Jesus is just like the Father and the Father is just like the Holy Spirit. Are you following me this morning? Jesus is the full manifestation of God made flesh who dwelt among us. The Holy Spirit is the full manifestation of God who dwells in us. Not only would he be with us, Jesus said in John 14, but he would be in us. Jesus lived approximately 30 years on earth before doing any teaching or performing any miracles. Then one day Jesus presented himself to John to be baptized in water. In Luke 3, we read this: when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began his ministry about 30 years of age. It's interesting because we know this. Let's examine Jesus' relationship with the Holy Spirit. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we could say that Jesus was born of the Spirit. Amen. We can see right here that he was baptized in water and simultaneously, as it were, was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So today I'm building a case that we should follow this same pattern, that we should be born of the Spirit, but we should also be baptized with the Holy Spirit. More than once, Scripture, we see this happening at the same moment. In Acts chapter 10, in Cornelius' house, while Peter is preaching Christ to them, all of a sudden they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They said, "Oh, let's get these guys baptized in water." But other cases, it was separate occasions. So I won't really have time to develop this fully today. Wednesday night, I'll teach about it during our prayer time if you'd like to come at 6:30. So without any further setup today, let's talk about receiving a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. For some people, maybe this will be the initial filling. But our best definition for being filled with the Holy Spirit is in Ephesians 5:18 that says, do not, and we'll turn there in a little bit, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be controlled by, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Would you look with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 3, if you would, please. Luke chapter 3. In verse 16, we'll begin. We have a tradition here where we stand for the reading of God's word. So would you stand with me, please, as we read from Luke 3, giving reverence and honor to the word of God. Luke 3, verse 16, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Let's pray. Father, we yield ourselves now to your Holy Spirit and say to you, we trust you. If there's something that you have for us, then as your dear children, we receive it. We ask, Father God, that every person, every yielded, every willing vessel would be filled with your Holy Spirit fresh and new today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. So to baptize means to immerse. It means to soak thoroughly. So we have Jesus being baptized in water. We have all of these disciples of John receiving a baptism of repentance in water. But then John says, but the one coming after me, he's not going to baptize you in water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So fire purifies. It's this purifying fire that clears out the dross and melts down the metal so that it can be cast into a new mold. We have this illustration of the winnowing fork that sifts away the chaff from the grain. We don't really have a good visual of this today because with modern combines, you know, that's all done in the machine and you see the chaff getting thrown out the back and the grain is left in the hopper. But my one and only trip to Pakistan, you know, it was the craziest thing. It was wheat harvest time and you had these big fields with combines, but there was literally still people out there with a scythe still just cutting down the wheat and then women, you know, beating that on a rock. It was the craziest thing you ever saw. Huge combines right next to the field where people still harvesting by hand. What are they doing? They're separating the chaff from the grain. And that's what the Holy Spirit's able to do in our life. After the winnowing fork has sifted away the grain from the chaff, then the chaff is burned so that only the pure grain remains. So to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire has something to do with purifying us to be useful in the kingdom. Amen. You know, we have this phrase today, he or she's on fire. You know, like in a sporting event, whether it be tennis or football or what have you. I mean, just like they're at maximum performance. You know, sometimes I preach really well. Sometimes, you know, but if I'm doing a really good job, you'd say, man, he's on fire today. What does that mean? Does it mean I'm fiery? It just means that, man, everything's clicking. The points are making sense. It's really causing a response within me. The Holy Spirit, come on, endues us with power to do a better job than we could do in our own strength and ability. Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said this, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Until you be endued with power from on high. Endued with power for what purpose is the question? Endued with power from on high. So in other words, Jesus, when he was getting ready to go back to heaven to the right hand of the Father, he said, guys, I don't want you to go and do anything until something happens. Until you're endued with, until the promise of the Holy Spirit comes and you're endued with power from on high. Look with me at John chapter 14. You're going to have to look quickly today so we can keep things moving along. Verse 12. John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. One who's just like me, one called alongside to help you. The word is parakletos, a helper, a strengthener, an advocate, the one who stands by. He's our comforter, your Bible may say, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's coming to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. So if believers are to do the works of Jesus, it was like I had read my Bible my whole life and never saw this verse until I was 20 something years old. And I thought, did Jesus really just say, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father? Did Jesus really say that? Now, that's quite a statement. Isn't that quite a statement? The works that Jesus did? I mean, if we boil down the works of Jesus, if we summarize it, Jesus went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's Acts 10:38. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Well, he has to be referring to that, doesn't he? What else could you call the works of Jesus if not that? The works that Jesus did, and even greater works, because he's going to the Father. So, you and I, there's no way we could do that in our own strength, our own ability, our own capacity as human beings, the works of Jesus. But Jesus told us how it would happen, didn't he? He said, now I'm going to go back to the Father, and when I go to the Father, you're going to pray, and I'm going to send another helper to you so that you can do these works. You know, it would be wrong of Jesus to expect us to do something and then really not give us the ability or the material, come on, the wherewithal to do it. But it would also be wrong of him to tell us to do something and just say, hey, just kidding. That was good for the first century. But I didn't really mean anybody after that. Like, then what part of the Bible then am I supposed to apply to today? If some of it expired and some of it's still good, how do I know which? I'm not that smart, and I bet you're not either. I shouldn't have insulted you. Are you following me? Look, it's either true or it's not true, and I have to act like it's so, or you know what? We might as well all be at the lake right now. Come on. Somebody's at the lake having a good time, and we're in church. So let's make it count. Amen. Let's make it be meaningful. Let's make sure that it's about something real. Amen. And not just fairy tales. Believers in Jesus will do the works of Jesus by the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in and empowered Jesus to do so. All right. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to dwell with you and he's going to be in you. Because sometimes people get confused. You know, when I got saved, didn't I get all the Holy Spirit there was? Well, certainly. I mean, you didn't get less than. You didn't get, come on, right? But, you know, you can have different experiences with water, correct? You can have water in you, but then it's a whole other thing to have water on you, right? You notice I drank a whole lot of that before I did that. That seemed like a better idea before I did it, all right? You can have a different experience with the same thing, right? And it's a whole different experience, yet it's the same thing. Water, same water, I had an experience drinking. Whole different experience when I poured that down my back. Is there any chance with a wireless microphone and a 9-volt battery you could electrocute yourself to death? I don't know. It wasn't really good on my iPad, I know that. All right. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. They're just doing... let's go to Acts 1. I jumped ahead. Verse 4. And being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus is using the language of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. They try to divert him with a question. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So in other words, the purpose of the power is to be witnesses for Jesus. The purpose for the power is to do the same works that Jesus did. Jesus lived on the earth, born of the Spirit for 30 years, yet he had not performed one miracle. He had done no ministry until he was 30 years old, until the Holy Spirit came upon him. But he was born of the Spirit. Are you following me? But then on almost his 30th birthday, he was then also baptized. So the Holy Spirit came upon him and empowered him then to do the works of ministry that he was called to do from before the foundation of the earth. Jesus said, in the same way, I'm going to send you out. You're going to do the works that I do, but you're not going to do it any differently than the way I did it. You need to be born of the Spirit, but you also need to be endued with power from on high to do this work. Now, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive this promise of the Father. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you're going to be empowered to be witnesses in all the earth. So we know what happens. Acts 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost comes, which is just one of the feast days of Israel. They were all together. They were seeking, waiting for this thing to happen. Verse 2, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire sat on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The meeting then poured out into the streets. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking with other tongues. They went out into the streets and there was people gathered in Jerusalem because of the feast that spoke different languages. They came from different countries. They were on this journey, this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But they all heard these brand new Spirit-filled Christ followers speaking the wonderful works of God in their own languages, not learned or even understood by the speakers. But the bottom line is that Peter then speaks in a language, the universal language that most of them could all understand. Peter preached the first gospel message and 3,000 people were saved. Again, the purpose of the power was so that people could come to Jesus, so that we could be empowered to be witnesses. The purpose of the church being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be empowered witnesses for Christ. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. And on their way to the temple, they come to the beautiful gate. At the beautiful gate, there's a man that's been sitting there a long time begging alms, looks intently at Peter and John and says, "Do you have something for me?" And Peter said, speaks out and says, "I don't have money for you today. I didn't bring money with me, but such as I have, give I. I'm going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, and the man went walking, leaping, and praising God. This was a notable, notable miracle. This looks like the kid. When you read through the book of Acts, doesn't it look? I mean, if you just change the names of Peter and John and Paul and Stephen and Philip, and you just put in Jesus, wouldn't it just look like an extension of the Gospels? Isn't that what Jesus said? The works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. In the same way that I did these things, you're going to do them. You need to be born of the Spirit, but you also need to be endued with power from on high so that you can do these works. Jesus didn't start his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him. This is just the church acting out their training. The disciples were trained under Jesus. How did he train them? He sent them out two by two and said, "Go, and wherever you go, preach the kingdom has come to you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give." They're just now acting out their training, but they're also equipped and empowered to do those works. Amen. This is just Bible stuff. Michelle and I in our early 20s just got, it was like when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like the Bible became alive again to us. And I've been a student of the Bible for over a decade. I was the weirdest kid you ever met in your life. I'm not kidding. I read my Bible in my bed until I fell asleep every night, but it was like the Bible came alive for me again. I was already called in ministry. I was already a licensed preacher. I was already a pastor. And this message has transformed lives around the world. Man, there's people alive today because Michelle and I got a hold of this message. And you know, we were the hands and feet and voice of Jesus that brought healing to them. Are you following me? You know, there's churches and orphanages all over the world because of this message that transformed our lives. Peter and John are just acting like Jesus. They're just following their training. They're fulfilling the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They were endued with power to do the works that Jesus did. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are called in on the carpet to be grilled by the religious authorities. They threatened them and let them go because, again, they said, what are we going to do, man? The people are going to riot us. A notable miracle. This man was, he lived his whole life as a cripple. And all of a sudden, he's walking around giving testimony that God has healed me. And they threatened them. And Peter and John said, I love this, Acts 4:19. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Man, it's too late for me. If you try to tell me God doesn't do certain things today that he used to do, too late. Too late. I've already seen it. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears open. We saw a mute girl in Pakistan the first night of our crusade in Multan. It's over on the border of India. In you know, it's the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, y'all. And this girl was about 12 years old, and she was deaf. She was a deaf mute, and she spoke on that stage that night. It doubled the crowd the next night. Why? Because we're endued with power to preach Jesus so that people would get saved. And we preach the most basic gospel message you've ever heard in your entire life. The most kindergarten version of the gospel you ever heard. And people go, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I'm going to get saved. I'm like, they might stone you. They might kill you. They might, you don't have a family anymore. They go, yeah, we want to follow Jesus. Why? Why? Because, you know, a couple of, you know, American Midwest guys just, you know, got an airplane. Our son Morgan was there with us and just decided to preach Jesus to them and just act like the Bible was so. Come on, somebody. I mean, there's just churches being planted all over Pakistan. You just don't hear about it. And there's a lot of gospel going forth there. In Acts chapter 4, look at this. I want you to see this. I want you to see the prayer of the early church. After they were threatened and they were let go. Verse 23 says, being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And so they heard, when they heard that, they raised their voice with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. And so they're building themselves up, reminding themselves who God is. I mean, you know, you can stand and be bold and go, hey, we're just going to keep doing this. But when they got away from these are the religious authorities that have the power of life and death over them. You understand? They could kill them and no Roman is going to stop them. They just didn't mess with the Jews and their religion and stuff. It's like, hey, you take care of your own stuff. And they just didn't bother with them. So if the church decided, the religious authorities have said, hey, we're done with you. That's it. No questions. So these guys could be killed for what they're doing. So when they get back home, they realize what this big statement they just made. And I'm telling you, as a human being, they were shaking in their boots a little bit. So they got together, and there's a good preaching point here. They got together with their own companions. Dear one, if you believe you can follow Jesus by yourself and you don't need a body of believers to be part of, you are mistaken. There is no such thing as a standalone Christian. We are called to be part of the body of Christ. Your ear has no context for existence except in relationship to the entire body. They went back to their own companions. And you got to have some companions that know how to get a hold of God with you. And they lifted up their voice with one voice, and they begin to remind themselves how big their God was, and that God's going to have to back their play now because they opened their mouth, right? And so they go through this whole litany of who God is. Now, verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats. Here's their prayer. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were what? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Verse 33, it says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. In chapter 5, we see in verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes. Are you seeing the purpose of the power? The purpose of the power is so that the church would do the works of Jesus, so they would get Jesus' results. Amen. So that people could get saved, so that their lives could be transformed. They were bringing sick people out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities, and they brought sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Do you see the purpose? Signs and wonders. I mean, they pray, God, look at their threats. Grant with boldness that we would speak forth your word. But hey, this isn't just about talk. Come on, we need you to do Jesus stuff. If we're going to preach Jesus messages, then we also need you to stretch forth your hand and heal, and that signs and wonders would be done through that name. And when they prayed that prayer in one accord, the Holy Spirit filled them fresh and new again. Isn't this the same bunch that got filled in Acts 2? It is. I'll answer. It's the same bunch, but they got a fresh filling in Acts 4. And they went out, and man, with great power, the apostles were giving witness. Isn't that the purpose of the power? Signs and wonders were being done. They were in one accord, salvations and healings and transformed lives. Here's my problem that I've had with the church. The real power and purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit so often gets diverted and diffused by self-gratifying displays of hyper-emotional experience seekers. We for sure want to be enthused. And we want to have great anticipation for every gathering of the church family. But the Holy Spirit didn't come so we could have a whoop-de-doo time. The Holy Spirit came upon us so that we could do the works of Jesus when we go out the door. I've been a sports guy my whole life. My dad was a coach. Hey, you want to get excited in the locker room, but you don't want to spend all your energy pregame. You know what I mean? You want to get yourself enthused. You want to get yourself, you know, worked up and ready to go. But that's not the real game. Sunday's the locker room. Sunday's where we're getting ourselves built up. We come and encourage one another. I mean, there was a guy right next to my locker in high school football. We called him Mad Dog. He was nose tackle. And he used to growl and bark and, before the game. And we were encouraging each other that we were, man eaters and we're going to go destroy this team and all that, right? We were there to encourage one another. We were to build each other up. I mean, we're slapping high fives and, that's church getting us ready for the game of life. But we can't expend all of our energy on the church service and then go out worn out to limp our way back to the next service so we can get filled back up again. No, we come in and get filled up so we can go out and then be dispersed out in the highways and hedges like Jesus told us to do and compel them then to come in. The purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is so that the church is empowered with the same anointing that was upon Jesus. The church is not something we attend once a week. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We're the church when we go out the door. We don't come to church. It's just a little bit of a misconception. The wording needs to be a little different. We are the church. This is the gathering. This is the assembling together part. But church is the body of Christ of which we walk out in our everyday lives. If Jesus' ministry is to be effective on the earth today, it's going to be done by Spirit-filled body of Christ, the church. Let's summarize the ministry of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Jesus said this, verse 18, reading from Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's our job assignment. That's our job description. That's why we need the Holy Spirit upon us. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and liberty to those that are oppressed. Summarizing the whole entire ministry of Jesus, Peter standing in Cornelius' house, Acts 10, verse 38, and he said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power of God, who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Do you understand that baptism with the Holy Spirit is for other people more than you? Do you understand that it's about other people? It's about being equipped to do the works of ministry. It's about being equipped to be the expression of Jesus in the earth. Let's wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 5. This is the so what. When Michelle and I did youth ministry, teenagers are just blunt. I'd be rambling on for a while. I'd have a kid go, "So what? Like, what's the point? Like, okay, we got it. What do you want me to do now?" That's what he's saying. Like, quit blabbing at the mouth and tell me what you want us to do. Okay, here it is. Acts, Ephesians 5, verse 14. "Awake, you who sleep." Can we just be honest? Some of us been asleep at the wheel for far too long. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. There's people all around us that need Jesus. There's all people around us that are hurting. There's brokenhearted people. There's oppressed people. There's people bound all around us, and they need a Spirit-filled Christ follower to go set them free. It's time to wake up. Time to stop making excuses and talk about what somebody did to me and all that. It's real. I got it. But Jesus can heal you so you can get back in the game. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly. Don't you love that word? It just means to be a thinking person. You know, you can be full of the Holy Spirit and have your brain fully engaged. Isn't that awesome? Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me just ask you something. If this was written almost 2,000 years ago, if the days were evil, do you think they're less or more evil today? So do we need less or more empowerment of the Holy Spirit today? Verse 17. So don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This is very easy to understand. When a person's drunk with wine, what now controls that person? The alcohol. What happens when a person has lost control of his or her senses and now the alcohol is controlling them? Bad things. I was watching a movie. Watching a show that I like to watch the other night, and you know, something bad happened. You know, he ended up cheating on his wife. You know what his excuse was? You know what his excuse was? You know, and I was just drunk. Like, that's an excuse. Like, I wouldn't have done it if I wasn't drunk. In other words, if I had had my senses, I wouldn't have cheated on you. But because I was drunk, I was out of control. I lost control. You see, when you're drunk with alcohol, are you listening to me? Bad things happen. You do things you wouldn't have done. Destructive things. Things that harm you. Things that harm your family. Things that harm your finances. Are you listening to me? It's an analogy here. In the same way that you can be drunk with wine, you could be filled with the Spirit. Does that mean to act all crazy drunk? No, that you're missing the point. It's not to act all crazy drunk. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it means that they're now controlled by the Holy Spirit. Instead of being controlled by something harmful or dangerous, you could be controlled by the Holy Spirit that's beneficial in every single way. It doesn't mean like I'm all crazy drunk. That is not what that means. Because I've seen people supposedly drunk in the Spirit. Man, I was not going to go here. Doing really crazy stuff that was really harmful to other people. With a bunch of teenagers one time. I mean, they were calling each other names in the name of being drunk in the Spirit and being mean. Holy Spirit's not mean. He's gentle. He's kind. Come on, somebody. It can't mean that. It doesn't mean we're supposed to be drunk with the Spirit. It means we're supposed to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit dominate us. Because the days are evil and people need some real help. And us having a Holy Ghost good time in the church service isn't really helping them. Right. But being empowered to do the works of Jesus when we run across somebody on Tuesday afternoon that's brokenhearted and hurting, and you can bring the real love and healing of Jesus to them, and you have the exact words to say because by gifts of the Spirit, you have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for them, and you know exactly what they need, that's some real Jesus stuff there. And that's what we need. And it says that we're to be constantly filled. Not a one-time filling. The word to be filled means to be filled and refilled and constantly filled. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm less full of the Holy Spirit than other times. But I can be refilled. And you can too. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always. So the reason we come together is so that we can encourage one another. Man, were you not encouraged during the music this morning? Of course we were. I mean, I love that John Mark McMillan song, How He Loves. Man, it does something to me every single time I hear it. I know that God loves me, but when I'm hearing all of you sing behind me and the people on the stage sing in front of me, it encourages me and strengthens me, right? Come on, somebody. So we got to get together and encourage one another so we can go back out into this evil world and be Jesus to this world that desperately needs Jesus. But we can't do it. We can't do it any less than Jesus did it. Jesus was born of the Spirit and he was filled with the Spirit. So I'm just going to do this. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Let me say this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. God will take as much of your life as you'll surrender to him. But in Acts 4, they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. In Ephesians 5, we're to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm just asking very simply, with great expectation, because we're sincere, full of faith. We've just heard the Word of God preached, so we know that faith is here. Just to receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, I'm just going to follow leadership of the Holy Spirit here. If that's you, just lift up a hand or both hands towards heaven. If you're like me, your shoulders don't work that well, so you know, lifting isn't very high. But you could just open up your hands towards heaven. I mean, if you just want to receive what God has for you today. Just a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer. And we're just going to ask that the Holy Spirit would fill us fresh and new today. Can we get into agreement with that? Just begin to yield your vessel. Begin to yield your mind, your heart, your body, your life to the Lord. Lord, we ask that you would anoint us with fresh oil. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would look down upon this place, upon this body of Christ gathered together here in the locker room, getting ready to go out into the game of life. Lord, we can't go out less than. If we're going to fulfill your assignment upon our, if we're going to do what you've called us to do. If we've been called to do the works of Jesus, then we need the same Holy Spirit in us and upon us. Empowered us. So, Father, you see us. You see our hearts. You see our yieldedness to you right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you fill us your Holy Spirit fresh and new right now in Jesus' name. Lord, anoint us with fresh oil. Empower us to do the works of Jesus. Burn away the dross. Burn away the chaff. Equip us with full manifestations of your Spirit, Father, to go out of this place and to bring hope and healing and salvation to that wicked, evil world that exists today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, fresh and new right now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, fresh and new right now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, fresh and new right now, we pray. In Jesus' name.